I struggled the last couple weeks with the messages. I had them all planned out, what plan they were supposed to go and all. But the Lord laid on my heart the five I Am's in the book of John, around chapters 8, 9, 10. So if you would like to open your Bible to John chapter 8, as I continue talking. And I struggled with this because I didn't know exactly how to put this together, because the five I Am's I wanted to go through as a set. I wanted to show something that the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to, that they draw us a picture. All five of them together build on each other, and they draw us a picture. And I thought, you know, I could take these five I Am's, and each one of them in Scripture has its own story, its own sermon. You know, I could take those, I could really develop each one of them, but then I lose the picture of these five I Am's building upon each other and coming to this conclusion. And so I struggled how that was going to happen. And I've got plenty of time. I have said in the past that when I do a lot of studying, I find more and more and more and more and more scriptures that back what the Scripture says, what the Holy Spirit's opened my eyes to. And it gets exciting to me. And the more study I do, it's the harder it is to keep it in 30 minutes. Keep it down to 12 o'clock to get out. And so my prayer is that God is going to stop the clock. That's wrong. I'm sorry. Okay, another thing I'm going to ask you to do. Does everybody see these offering envelopes in front of you? Is there enough? Is there at least two in front of everybody? The reason I say that, these make wonderful bookmarks. I got in trouble the last time I said that too. So we're going to want to hold to John chapter 8. We're going to find these scriptures before we get started. So I want you to go back to Genesis, and I believe it's chapter 22. Genesis 22. And you're going to put a marker in Genesis chapter 22 as well. And as we come to those and we leave those, don't take your markers out. And the other one's going to be Exodus chapter 3. So if you will mark those, we'll go other places, but those we want to turn to, we want to keep returning to this morning. So in John chapter 8... John chapter 8, we find the first of the I Am's. But before we do, I do want to go back and I want to find out what Jesus is talking about when he talks to the scribes and the Pharisees. Because the scribes and Pharisees basically have only one thing in mind. They want to take the teaching of Jesus, they want to dispute the teaching of Jesus and all the things that he does, and show him to be a phony. You catch that? They want to show him to be a phony. We're going to see something in Scripture here. Not only is Jesus not the phony, but the phonies are the ones bringing him and testing him to try him as a phony. But let's look at that. Let's go to John chapter 8, and we're going to start with verses 14 through 18. And I'll skip around a bunch because my goal here is not to preach on the story or the thing that's taking place around here, but to focus on the I Am's. So starting with verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know where I came from and where I go. But you cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. You judge after the flesh, and I judge no man. Yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me." Why did he talk to the scribes and the Pharisees about this? Why is he talking about judging? Why is he talking about witnesses? So we'll go back and I'm going to tell you the story instead of taking time to read it. Here Jesus is, and the scribes and Pharisees come running out, and they said, "Here's a woman!" And she was caught in the act. She was caught in the act of adultery. And the law says that anybody caught, anybody guilty of adultery is to be stoned. But you see, their goal was to catch Christ as faulty, as an imposter. What do you say, teacher? What do you say? Well, Jesus is wise. A lot wiser than I. I would have found the opportunity to scream and holler and yell back at them and to expose them for who they are. Brother Brownfield, that was here just a couple weeks back, he mentioned this too. He said that, or it says that Jesus knelt down and he started writing in the sand. And he just wrote in the sand, just like he was ignoring them. And he looked up at the scribes and Pharisees and said, "You who's without sin, cast the first stone." He went back to writing in the sand, ignoring the whole problem of accusation here. What's wrong with this picture? The woman is caught in the very act. She's to die. The law says she's to die. There is no varying from the law. She is to die because of her sin. I want to draw you a picture before I continue of a courtroom. Courtroom has the judge sitting at the bench, front and center. Most important person on that courtroom is that judge, sitting there in his robe. He's the one that makes the final decision. He's the one that guides the proceedings. Off to the judge's left is the prosecutor, the one who says, "She's guilty!" Sorry, Charlie. Charlie's going to do that later on. He's going to say, "Amen." They're the ones that says she's guilty. We caught her in the very act. On the other side of the courtroom is the defendant. The defendant sits there patiently, and he wants to try to work all his testimonies and everything about his paperwork and everything about this case to show that his client is innocent. But she was found. She was found guilty. So the two of them battle back and forth with what we call the witnesses. They call the witnesses up from the group. Yes. And the witnesses come up, and the prosecutor calls the first witness. Prosecutor gets to question it. "Were you at such and such a place at such and such a time? Do you know the situation? Do you know this person? Look at the person. Does he?" And they go through this whole line of questioning. When they're all through, the witness can't move because the defendant gets a chance to try to break down that testimony. Of course, they'll take times when each of them calls their own witnesses up, and the opposite side gets to try to tear down the testimony. And we see Jesus talking to scribes and Pharisees. The witness of two is true. If we can get two people without being torn apart by the opposing side to have a true testimony, and they both agree that's a true testimony, and we'll know the truth. We'll find the truth. So let's go back for just a moment to the woman. And our brother Brownfield, who was teaching, he says, "I know what he was writing in the sand." And I've heard different ones say, "I know exactly what he wrote on the sand too." We had another evangelist several years ago who said, "I know what they wrote on the sand. He wrote down their names, every one of the accusers. He wrote down their name and said the words, 'He that has no sin, cast the first stone.'" Well, Brother Brownfield says, and if you all turn around for just a moment, we'll find it on the back wall. He says, "I believe he was writing down the law. The law. He was saying, 'Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Who knows? Maybe put their names right after that. You see, the scribes and Pharisees were fakes. They were fakes. They dressed the part. They talked the part. They didn't live the part. Behind the scenes, they were dirty, rotten sinners, but they didn't get caught. Because they were Pharisees, you see. They were the ones who did the law. We followed the law to the letter, to the very letter. I could see Jesus just writing in the sand, writing the Ten Commandments, and maybe putting a name after each one. It may be a long line, putting all their names on the same commandment. I don't know. Let him that has no sin cast the first stone. And all the accusers turned one at a time, dropped their stones on the ground, and walked away. Because, my friend, we have sin in our hearts. We, not they, we have sin in our hearts. We come to this world dark with sin. This world that's lost in sin. This world where the sheep wander around without a shepherd. The one where we have no direction in life. The one where there is no hope. One day we die in our sins because the law says we're going to. And Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, I didn't come to be the judge. You see, I'm the witness. And the witness of me and the witness of my Father is true. You see, we have two witnesses, and they both agree. And he said, you're right. The world is lost in sin. So now let's get to our I Ams. Let's find this in John chapter 8, verse 58. If you go to 58, please. I have to find it here. John 8:58, it says, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, how do we get talking about it? Well, we can't go to Abraham just yet. When it says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that's almost like he has an announcement to make. And it goes something like this. Hear ye, hear ye. Listen up. Behold. You who have ears to hear, let him hear. Have you heard all those in Scripture or around workplace or whatever? And he says, Verily, verily, I say unto you. You know, if you don't catch anything else that's said today, catch these words, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, English teachers, don't blame me. I didn't write it in past tense, present tense, all in the same sentence structure, and I didn't mess that up. God did. He said, Before Abraham was, I am. And they said, Now Jesus, this doesn't make sense. You were long after Abraham. You're only about 30 years of age. And Abraham died in his sin. You see, Jesus told them, Abraham longed to see my day. And he saw it. And this doesn't make any sense, Jesus. He didn't see your day. He's dead. And Jesus, you couldn't have seen his day because you're only 30 years old. This testimony doesn't make sense, Jesus. And Jesus said, Before Abraham was, I am. So quickly, let's find out what he was saying to Abraham, what he was saying to others. Let's go back to our Genesis chapter. But along with Genesis, I want you to note, we're not going to Genesis chapter, whatever it was, I told you. We're going to go to a different chapter. We'll get to the other. Don't lose that marker. This is the only time we come to this one, see? You'll wonder about me before it's all over, Rick. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 7. Genesis 15, verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give this land to inherit it. I am. I am the one who brought you out of that land, and I've given you an inheritance in this land. I am has done this. Abraham knew one thing. God himself was speaking to him. He had no question in his mind who I am is. He had no question in his mind that God is the one who allowed he and his family to come out of the land of the land of Chaldees and to go to this special place. The I am. Well, let's look at another. We could follow this through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and also in Moses. But I want to catch just those two ends of it. So let's go to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, which you marked. Exodus chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 6 and then verse 14. Exodus 3 verse 6 says, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon who? He was afraid to look on God's face, because they had this teaching all down through time, up to the time of Moses. He who sees the face of God is surely going to die. We cannot look on the face of God. Who was he talking with? He was talking to the God, the creator of the world. He was talking to God, who was the one who brought Abraham into the land of inheritance. He was the one who was saying to Moses, I have a plan for you, and I have taken you out of the land of Egypt, but I want you to go back into Egypt and redeem my people. And he was hiding his face because he was afraid, because he knew exactly who he was looking at. You don't look at the face of God and live. And so he was afraid and he hid. Let's go to verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "And God said to Moses, I am that I am." Moses was saying, "Hey, God, you want me to go back and you want me to go to Pharaoh, who's rejected me from his household because of who I claim to be now. You want me to go back to him and try to tell him to let my people go." "Who do I tell him sent me?" And God said, "You tell him that the I am sent you. Tell him that I am hath sent you to him." Now, this is the funniest thing that I see in this whole thing. You expect Abraham to understand who God is. You expect Moses to know who God is. You expect the Christians to know who God is. You expect the preachers to know who God is. But do you expect the world to know who God is? God said, "I want you to go back to Egypt." Egypt is a picture all through Scripture of the sinful world. The lost. I want you to go back to them. And here's what I want you to say to them. The I am has sent you. I guarantee you something. The world knows who your God is. I don't care if they claim to be atheists or not. They know exactly who your God is. And the world knows that they are lost in sin. What they do is turn their face away from the truth and believe a lie. They know who God is. Abraham and Moses could go right to the lost, to the picture of the lost community from God, and say, "The I am has sent me unto you." And they know exactly who he's talking about. And they know that there's judgment attached to the words I am, because we live in a dark, sinful world. So now, let's quickly move on to other things. What about Jesus? What about Jesus? Before Abraham was, I am. Did you catch that? Go to Philippians chapter 2. I want you to see these words. Philippians chapter 2. Starting with verse 5, we're only going to read three verses here. we know a whole string of verses there together, and it's such a neat passage, and we might even overlook some of the truth that's found there. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Jesus, also the I Am. He is God, and the people feared this day would happen. They feared this day would happen. You see, God, the great I Am, was going to come to this world and judge us because of our sin. I get carried away with that, sorry, Charlie. And judge us because of our sin. And that's what they're most fearful about. And it's a whole lot easier to believe a lie and say, it's not going to happen. It's okay. And they know the truth in their heart that it is going to happen. And Jesus said, "I am." Scribes and Pharisees got nervous. You see, God is going to come to this world. He is going to judge sin. And up to this point, if we were never to go through any more scripture, this world has no hope. Because every one of us are lost in sin. Every one of us are guilty. Brother Brownfield had us all raising our hands over and over and over again. "You're caught. Ha! Gotcha. You're all guilty." Yes, we are. We're all guilty. And so are they. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let's go to the next I Am. Let's go to the next I Am. And that's going to be found in chapter 9. And we're going to start with verse 1. John chapter 9. And we're going to jump through a lot of scripture just so that I can't get stuck on a few. Verse 1, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." Oh, interesting. You know, it seems like none of these stories, none of these episodes, none of these coincidences are tied together. Absolutely none of them. I love it. "He found a man who was blind from his birth." Let's move on over to 5 through 7. Down to verse 5 it says, "And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." The second I Am. "And when he had thus spoken, he spit on the ground and made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent, or which by another word is sent. "He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing." Okay, I have another verse. We'll go to the verse. I want to come back to that. Verse 25. Chapter 9, verse 25. "He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or not," this is the blind man speaking about Christ. "Whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, where I was once I was blind, now I see." So we have the story of this blind man. And Jesus made clay with spit and made this clay and put it all over his eyes. Doesn't make any sense to me. But he said a word that we saw in the I Am of the I Am. I Am that I Am. He said, "Go." What did he say to Abraham? What did he say to Moses? Of course, Isaac and Jacob, the same thing. "Go." He said, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which, if you interpret this, is, "I sent you." The God of all gods sent us to a path to show us that we can see in a world of darkness. Is that exciting? In a world of darkness, and I said the words, with that, with just the I Am, we are in a world and we're lost in our sin. We have no hope. And Jesus said, "Go. I'm going to send you. I'm giving you this promise. In this world of sin, you're going to be able to see the light of the world. I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus came to this world, the I Am, set foot on this land, but not at that time to judge us, at that time to show us the light back to Him. We have all wandered away in our sin. We know who God is. We know judgment is on its way and we're all guilty. And He showed us the way back. I am the light of the world. We got to go look at Abraham and Moses again. That's where it gets exciting. Abraham, we'll go find him in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 7. Genesis 22 and verse 7. And just very quickly, I'll give you a background. God said to Abraham one chapter ago, "It is through Isaac your seed shall be called." Now, in chapter 22, "Take Isaac, your son, your only son, and give him back to me." There's our picture. Abraham and Isaac are walking up the mountain, and Isaac said these words in verse 7. This chapter 22 and verse 7 of Genesis. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am." And if you study the book of Genesis, you're going to see types or pictures. And these pictures will draw us a big picture of the love of God, the plan of God. And Abraham is a picture. Yes, Abraham was a sinner, just like the rest of us. No, Abraham himself could not represent God. But God chose Abraham to be a representation of God the Father. He said to his son, "I am. Here I am, son." And his son said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" So let's look at this. I only have one verse there to share with you on the light of the world. And you say, how do you get the light of the world? The wood, the fire. I've got all the parts for judgment. I have everything I need because we live in this world of sin and all of us are guilty. I have all the pieces, parts, Father, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham's words, I love them. In verse 8, Abraham said, "My son, God will provide Himself the sacrifice." Let's go on to Moses real quick. Oops. In Exodus chapter 3. Back to Exodus chapter 3. And verses 10 through 12. Now I need to find it. It says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "Certainly I will be with you. And this shall be a token or a picture or a promise." You know, tokens you can hang on a little necklace thing that's a broken thing. It says, "When I'm away from you, I'll always remember you," and all this. You know, that little thing. It's a token. It's something we can take and grasp onto as a promise of God. And this is a token that I'm going to give you. You see, you're going to go to another land, and when you get there, you're going to worship me. You see, my promise is true. I will lead my people out. You are the one that are going to go. You're going to be the light. You're going to be the path to get from there to over here where I promised you're going to be. Let's look at Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. And we'll read just a few verses there. 1 and 2. "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, The Lord has not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is it that you have in your hand? And he said, A rod." So these next verses we look at is what God is going to do through the rod. Look at verse 3. "And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. And it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it." I don't want to get mixed up in some things, so we're going to move on to something else. Verse 6, to the next thing. Verse 6. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thy hand in thy bosom. And he put forth his hand in his bosom. When he took it out, behold, it was leprous as snow. And we don't want to get mixed up in leprous and whole snow. So we're going to go on to the next thing. And we're going to go to verse 9. And it came to pass, if they will not believe thee also after these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. I want you to see the picture that God drew for him. You see, he was saying to Moses, you're going to be the light. You're going to be the one who's going to show them the path to get from the world of sin to the promised land over here, where I said that you're going to, one day, all of you together are going to worship me. And here's the picture. When you get to Pharaoh, I want you to draw him these three pictures to show him the I am that I am hath sent you to him. First of all, this rod is going to be a serpent. Second of all, this rod is going to represent a leper. And thirdly, this rod is going to show blood on the ground. I want you to see those three pictures. Consider real quick those three pictures. Those three pictures. The first one is the serpent. The serpent is that picture of sin and deception. That picture that says, I can accuse you because I was there when you took of the fruit. I was there when you turned your back on God. He was there. The serpent. What was the second one? It was that picture that everybody knew, when my hand turns white, leprous as snow, that I am going to die in my sin. I'm going to die because of this disease that I have. We're all guilty, my friend. What's the last one? You've got to tell me the rest of the story. What is it? It's the blood. It's the blood that washes white as snow. Those three pictures is what Moses went to tell Pharaoh. And with the words, I am that I am hath sent me. You see, the first I am, is to represent God in His majesty and His judgment to judge a world of sin. The I am, the light of the world, has come that He can show us the path to life eternal. Hang on to that. Jesus said in John 8, back to John 8 and John 9, 8:12, that we don't have to walk in darkness because He's the light of the world. John 9:5, He says that as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I'll make a path. I'll show you how to get to the Father. John 9:39, I want you to see those verses. John 9 and verse 39, and Jesus said, For judgment I am come into the world, but they which see not might see. I get tongue twisted, mind twisted with these words, so I'm going to take it slow. Those which see not might see. And those which see might be made blind. The ones who think they got all the answers to the world, I'm going to blind their eyes, they will not understand. But those who are blind, those who know you're in sin, can't see any way past your sin, can't see any way possible that we're going to be with Christ one day in glory, I'm going to open your eyes. You're going to see. I'll make the clay spittle. I don't care what it is. I'm going to send you to the pool that says, Sent! And I'm going to make a way that you can come to the Savior. Very quickly, let's look at that third one. And I do see the clock. The I am has come into the world of sin. Those who cannot see God, He says, I am the light. I am the way. John 14:6, Jesus said to His disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Verily, verily, the third one, there's an announcement again. Hearken. Hey, I got an announcement. Listen up. If there's nothing else you grasp this day, understand these words, I am the door. I love it. Go to chapter 10. John chapter 10. Charlie wants all five of them in this message. It won't happen. You've got to come back tonight, Charlie. Jesus said, I am the door. Let's look and see very quickly what he's talking about. Chapter 10, starting with verse 1, he says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. As far as I'm going to read. Let me tell you about the sheepfold. The sheepfold is a large area out in the middle of nowhere where shepherds are going to bring their sheep. And my understanding is that other shepherds will share the same sheepfold. That's not a problem. Because you see, when they get ready to leave the next morning to go out into the pasture to graze and to get water and the things of life, you know, the sheep only hear the voice of their own shepherd. So that's not a problem. They'll share this place with a stone wall all the way around it. It's a short wall. It says here that the shepherd brings the sheep into the sheepfold, and in that sheepfold they can rest all night long. It's a place of rest. It's a place of comfort. Have any of us gone through hurts in our lives? Every one of us have. Have any of us been through trials and tribulations? All of us have. And it's a place of comfort. It's a place where all that out there is not going to bother me. I'm inside the sheepfold. I'm safe. I'm secure. God's going to provide for me. He's going to say, I've got a place for you where you can get away from all this because you're my sheep. Go back to Abraham. I'll be done in just a few minutes. Abraham, that's in Genesis 22. Genesis 22. I didn't turn my page. Genesis 22, and we want verse 8. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself the door. It doesn't say that, does it? He will provide himself the lamb for the offering. So they went, both of them, together. What else does it say? Let's look at verse 13. Verse 13, And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Remember, I am the light of the world. I'm going to give you a light where you can see. He lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. I am the door. Let's go to Exodus. Let's learn of Moses. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12 and verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, and I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Wait, that's what we heard to start with, wasn't it? I am the Lord. What verse is that? 12. The I am came for judgment? Okay, let's look at verse 13, just after that. And the blood shall be to you as a token. We talked about a token. That promise that I can grab onto. The blood is going to be like the promise that I give you. I'm faithful. Upon the houses where you are, that when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Egypt, the picture of sin. I'm going to come to execute judgment on the land of Egypt, on sin. And he says, what I want you to do, I'm going to give you a picture. You're going to take a sacrifice, and you're going to take the blood from that sacrifice. You're going to go outside, and you're going to paint it on the top of the doorposts. You're going to paint it on the right-hand side and the left-hand side. You're going to paint that door with with the blood, and everybody inside the house I'm going to pass by because the blood is on the doorposts. Jesus said, I am the door. What was on his hands? What was on his side? Charlie knows. There's the blood. What were the three pictures that Moses was supposed to take back to Pharaoh? The serpent, the leper, and the blood. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, you may enter in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the truths of your Scripture, that we're not left there wondering when you're going to come back as the I am that I am for judgment upon this world, because we're all guilty. I thank you, Lord, that you have come and you walked this earth and you showed us the path to the cross. You've shown us the way where the blood's going to cover our sins. And you laid down in the door of that sheepfold. You became our door and said, come on in. Only the shepherd can let us in. Lord, we pray that you guide and direct right now.